bless you, brother. Oh, wow. Well, good morning, guys. Is the mic okay? Are we all right? Okay.
Yep, I think I turned it on,
so it's so make sure I'm live. All right, good. Last time I think I was here, I was going for the first, two or three minutes, and you were trying to get my attention to let me know that the mic wasn't on. So I told myself I didn't want to make that mistake this time because you guys will laugh at me, right, like you did last time. So, but I can take it, though. So I'm big boy and got a pretty good sense of humor. But again, it is a pleasure to be here. And as I mentioned, or as Brady just mentioned, my wife and I just had our second child as well. So Brady and I have been praying and perhaps probably needing to fast for one another as we're going through transition, but we are both thankful to the Lord just that things are as well as they are. Now, I must say, I was throwing the football earlier. I got here a few minutes early, had opportunity to throw the football some with Young and Eric, I think, so we started talking college football. And so I must express my congratulations to those MSU fans among us. I don't know if we have any. And my condolences to the Wolverine fans among us. Now, I'm a Southeastern guy, and I went to Auburn University, and so we take our football very seriously there, so we are getting beat up like every week, so I'm going through the fire with the University of Michigan Wolverine fans too, so we all have something in common that we're all struggling this year, but we can always say, better luck next year, right, perhaps. So anyway, so we hang in there. As Brady mentioned, I do want to take a few moments to share with you the word from Philippians chapter 1, verses 27, and maybe actually through chapter 2, verse 5. I think we'll end up looking at verse 5. But the message is simply entitled, Being the Body of Christ Through Humble Service. Being the Body of Christ Through Humble Service. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 1. We'll begin here at verse 27. Let me just read these few verses for us as well. Being the body of Christ through humble service. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks on this day. We thank you for your word, Lord. Father, we pray that you speak to your people. I pray that I be hidden behind the cross. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. Once read some time ago that the roots of trees in a forest, when they actually touch one another, it reduces competition for those necessary ingredients that sustain the life of the trees. There is supposedly an unknown fungus at the roots of the trees that connect them even with different species of trees, such that the whole forest may be linked together and share with one another through these roots. It's very interesting. If one has access to water, or if another has access to nutrients, and another has access to sunlight, they can all share by the resources of one particular tree. And so it's very interesting when I think about that, when I reflected on that, it seems to me that like the trees of a forest, so too it should be with Christians, that we should humbly serve one another. There may be things that we have access to, one part of the body of Christ has access to, that the other needs, and so we should always humbly and faithfully serve one another as the community of believers. while these forests may be bound by the fungus of these roots. You see, the community of believers from various backgrounds, from all walks of life, from various cultural backgrounds, ethnicity, whatever the case may be, we are all bound together. We are all unified by the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should always strive to humbly and faithfully serve one another. In the text this morning in Philippians chapter 1, we see Paul's instruction to the church at Philippi, I think, equally applies to each and every one of us in this room. He makes this appeal. He tells us here to live lives worthy of the gospel for which we have all been called. To live lives worthy of the gospel to which we have been called. We just celebrated communion, and communion is one of the, this is one of my favorite events in the church. It's that time where the community of believers come together to reflect on the very work of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His burial, and ultimately His resurrection. So the death of Jesus Christ on the cross dealt with the penalty of sin, and the glorious resurrection broke the power of sin. We come together to reflect with gratitude on the wonderful work of Jesus Christ, and it is the gospel that binds us together. And in light of that, we are to live lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways in which we are to do this, the text tells us, is through humble service. So what does it mean to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ? Well, we will see as the text unfolds. The logic of the text is very clear here, that it is through humble service. You see, the church here had a problem with division. And so Paul, in verse 27, prescribes the remedy to deal with this particular problem. We see first in verse 27 the appeal that the Apostle Paul makes. In verse 27, the first part of 27, we see the appeal that is made. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. To this appeal to live a life worthy of the gospel. You see, when we're involved in all kinds of things, we want to live or act, behave in such a way that we're worthy of that particular honor, right? If we are competing in an athletic event, right, we want to let our teammates know that we're worthy of being part of the team, and also those we're competing against, that we're worthy to be on the same field. Those of us who play instruments or perhaps are in a band or symphonic band, concert band, whatever the case may be, we want the rest of our section to know that we will pull our weight, that we will carry our end of the stick, that we are worthy. We will practice our scales. We will memorize our music. We will study and we will do all these things. We will rehearse together because we want to let people know that we are worthy of our participation in this particular event. This can happen in anything, whether it be dance or debate club, chess club, whatever it is, whatever context you find yourself in. And how much more so when the Apostle Paul says here, live lives worthy of the gospel from which you have been called. And he encourages them in light of their own suffering and struggles and in light of his own suffering and struggles to be examples of a community that have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. A community that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In today's time, it is so important people talk about community and being in groups and identifying with each other and having support structures. But the reality is that for those of us who are in Christ, the community that we have been called to be a part of should be characterized by the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ultimately, this will look in a particular way as we look in verse 27b. He gives an appeal for unity of mind and purpose here, which is a characteristic of what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel. So he makes the appeal, live lives worthy of the gospel. And then in the second part of verse 27 and following, he gives the characteristics of what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel. And this is to be in one spirit and a unity of mind. Very interesting here that, as he says in verse 27b, then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Note this emphasis, this issue of being unified, of one mind, one spirit purpose. In other words, he's just simply saying we need to be unified. exercising genuine love to one another and have the same purpose to live those lives worthy of the gospel to which we have been called. Now, something that's very interesting when I think about this notion of Christian unity. The Bible talks a lot about that. I'm sure that pastors talk a lot about this, and some of your Bible study groups talk about the importance of unity. It's amazing to me that as I reflect on this, I'm struck by the fact that unity does not necessarily mean uniformity. Okay? To be uniform means everybody has to look the same, sound the same, be the same, and do everything exactly the same, right? But we know that we're all individuals in community, but we can be unified on the basis of some common truth. And that common truth that unifies us all is going to be the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be uniform. We don't have to do everything the same way. We don't have to sing the songs in the same way. We don't perhaps have to express the same kind of styles of worship. Some people may be drawn to certain kinds of music in worship or certain kinds of activities. But we can still be unified without being uniform. Some of the work that I do is on college campuses where I talk with people and try to share the gospel. And at times, as Paul says here in this verse, contend for the gospel as well, to try to give a defense for it against some of the challenges that people may raise against the Christian faith. And often people talk about this notion that, you know, Christianity, you guys have all these denominations, right? Baptist, Methodist. And then if you talk about Baptist, you got 35 different, you know, Baptist denominations and Methodists and Presbyterians and all of this stuff. And they seem to suggest that, well, it's a disunity. Everybody's all over the place. And I usually respond by saying, well, that's not really an accurate picture of what happens here. The reality is that if we were to look from back in the history of the church from all times and even all peoples, there is a core truth that Christians have believed and that they have embraced. And the core truths lie in the very heart of the life, the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Really, the heart of the gospel is what unifies us. And so while there may be differences in styles of worship, maybe, or how we do certain things in church, we are unified on that particular basis. And I think this is something that's so important. It's kind of, if I can give you an example. You guys are all smart, bright students, right? And I'm not a great chemistry person, but maybe you would tell me. What is the chemical composition of water? H2O, right? I knew you guys were brilliant, right? So you have H2O. So the purity of water, this H2O, if I had a glass here, or I have my bottle here. So this H2O, as far as you can tell, as far as I can tell, too, it's fairly pure. There's no dirt or little particles or anything in here, you know, that would be different from H2O, and leave alone the fact this may be like spring water, has something else in it. Just, you know, work with my illustration here, right? So you've got the water, the H2O. Now, this is in a particular bottle, right? Now, I could take this same water in this bottle and pour it in a bucket. I could take the same water in that bucket and pour it in a cup. I can put it in a pitcher. I can put it in a number of different kinds of containers. As long as the water, the H2O, remains pure, that is the important thing, while it can show up in many different forms. And so many people talk about the distinction of form and substance, right? So we can have many different forms in the Christian community show up in the bucket, the bottle, the cup, the glass, the pitcher, but as long as the water remains pure, that's the main thing. And with regard to the very gospel of Jesus Christ, there are many different forms in which it can be expressed. As long as the substance or the purity of the gospel remains, then we can still be unified, as the Apostle Paul says, without being uniform. So not only do we see the appeal here in the first part of verse 27 to live lives worthy of the gospel, and then he gives us the characteristic of what it means to live a life worthy of the gospel, which is to be unified in mind, purpose, and love. And he is not finished here, because he further instructs us as to how we are to be unified at the beginning of chapter 2. Okay, the appeal, live lives worthy of the gospel, characteristic, to be unified in purpose, love, and mind. And then how are we to do this? Well, we see this at the beginning of chapter 2. if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. You see, verses 1 through 2 really serve as the rallying point around which any of us who are followers of Christ are to be unified. It is the common faith and the commitment to the gospel by which we have been redeemed or transformed and have entered into a new relationship with the true and the living God. You see all these phrases here at the beginning of chapter 2, if, and it raises these conditionals, right? Well, if this is the case, then this is the result, right? And so the way that the text actually reads is that as he gives all these conditional statements, if you have any encouragement, if you have any comfort, if you have any fellowship, if there's any tenderness and compassion, the result is that, you know what? You actually do have these things. And so in light that you do have these things, since you have been called into the community of believers, then there are certain things that should follow. Any encouragement from being united with Christ, if there's any comfort from His love, any fellowship with the Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion, which all of those things are there, then he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. So in other words, really what the scripture is saying is something very simple. It's just saying, be who you are. Be who you are. You've got this encouragement that being united with Christ. This tenderness and compassion that is being expressed by being transformed. You've got this fellowship with God by way of His Spirit that lives in each and every one of us who've put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. Now that you have all those things, live lives of unity, of one mind and one purpose. In other words, be who you are. Again, this importance of unity shows up in verse 2, just as it did in chapter 1, verse 27. But then he now gives instruction for how this is to take place. So remember where we've started. He makes an appeal to live lives worthy of the gospel. What are the characteristics of that? To be unified in purpose, in love, and of being of one mind. And so how is this to happen? Well, we see this in verse 3 here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. The chain is complete now. Humility, as we see in verse 3, produces the kind of unity that is described for us in verse 2. And then both of these are necessary ingredients for living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is expressed for us in verse 27. And so there's this logical flow to what the Apostle Paul is saying for us. Humility gives rise, or humble service gives rise to unity, and the humble service with the unity gives rise to us living lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way we live lives worthy of the gospel is through humble service. This is something I think that is so important, because in the Greek world, I'm a bit of a philosopher at times, right? So I kind of muse in those areas often. And when you say the old Greek philosophers, right, those guys that you've probably heard of, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, if you go back before Socrates, like Protagoras and all these guys, in the ancient Greek world, this thing called humility that we're talking about here was something to be shunned. It was something to be ashamed of, something to be avoided at all costs. It was not considered a virtue. But yet the contrast that we see in the New Testament as we are looking at a passage like this, the concept of humble service is used to describe those events that bring us into closer fellowship and relationship with God and with each other. It's amazing, this contrast here, where the broader culture says we should shun this notion of humility. What is that all about, right? We should try to puff ourselves up and make ourselves look as best as we can and not be serve anyone else, but serve ourselves. But yet the Bible teaches us something very different, that living lives worthy of the gospel actually entails that we engage in humble service. So the question, as we are kind of trying to give some general or broad application here, the question that I want us to ask ourselves is this. What does humility look like in the life of a follower of Christ? What does humility or humble service look like in the life of a disciple of Christ? Well, let me give you three suggestions here, and these will be kind of broad suggestions, and I hope that you will think as a group with each other as to how to make these a little more specific here. Well, first is that humility is to be expressed in selfless, sacrificial service, devoid of any sense of pride or self-righteousness. Okay? Humility is to be expressed in selfless and sacrificial service that doesn't have any sense of pride or self-righteousness. You know that notion of pride, that an undue sense of one's own worth, okay? An undue sense of one's own worth. So we should, that humility should be expressed in selfless sacrificial service, which does not have any sense of pride or self-righteousness. How many of you ever heard the name Muhammad Ali in here? Okay, many of you have. Muhammad Ali was a great boxer. Okay, he was a tremendous boxer. But also, Muhammad Ali was a talker, right? And he could certainly talk, and he was very boastful at times, and in many sense prideful. Someone has once said that Muhammad Ali is known for many things, but humility is not one of them. Okay, and so there's a story that I heard once of that I heard someone else share, that Muhammad Ali was on an airplane. Okay, and so the plane was flying along, and all of a sudden the pilot gets over the intercom and says, "I need everyone to button their seatbelts. We're entering into moderate turbulence." Okay, so everybody in the airplane fastened their seatbelts except Muhammad Ali. Okay, so the flight attendant walks down, checking to make sure everybody had their seatbelt fastened, and she comes to Muhammad Ali, and Ali didn't have his seatbelt fastened, and she says, "Sir, could you please fasten your seatbelt?" And Muhammad Ali's response was, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The flight attendant didn't miss a beat and said, "Superman don't need no airplane either." Right? The reality is that sometimes we think of ourselves more higher than we ought to. The reality is that often the sense of pride that sometimes comes from a life that has not reflected on who we really are not is subject to not being humble in the way that the Scripture is telling us here. You see, someone once told me that pride is that one illness that makes everybody else sick except the person who has it. Right? Pride is that one illness that makes everybody else sick except the person who has it. Think about this for just a moment. Don't you think it's odd that God designed our bodies in such a way that makes it hard to pat ourselves on the back? Right? Think about that. It probably went over you. Think about that, right? Rest on that one. That God has designed it in such a way that makes it hard to pat ourselves on the back. So this issue of humble service is to be expressed in selfless, sacrificial service, devoid of any sense of pride or self-righteousness. You see, when we have pride as believers or followers of Jesus Christ, we then have a greater sense of our own accomplishments than really is warranted. When we understand that we were all sinners under the wrath of God, but it was only by God's grace that we are saved, then we can have gratitude for God, and then this sense of pride can be diminished. Secondly here, humility is expressed when we actively look for opportunities in our church and our communities to humbly serve others. Humility is expressed when we actively look for opportunities in the church and our communities to humbly serve others. Look at verse 4 if you still have your Bibles there. It says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others." Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. In our, you know, culture, you know, the big thing is to look out for number one, right? You know, only attend to your own needs, and you are the person that's the most important, right? Don't worry about anybody else. You got to get what you can get while you can get it, because you may not be able to get it later. So look out for number one. But yet here again, the Bible teaches us something very, very different here. Now, I love the Bible because it's very practical, right? And look at verse 4. It says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests." So the Bible doesn't say that we are not to look out for our own interests, right? I mean, obviously, you know, we want our parents to work so that we can eat and so that we can, you know, have clothes on our back and things along that line so that we can get around. So certainly we are to look out for our own interests to a degree. But what the Bible is saying is that we should not try to hoard up things for ourselves, that we should not be so narrow that we only look to our own interests, but we also must look to the interests of others. And so as the community of believers, we should actively look for opportunities in our church to serve. There are so many areas where you as young people can serve God and to serve the Christian community and the church here. I mean, in terms of helping with all kinds of things that are going on here. Let me encourage you to keep that very close in your mind so when you dismiss in different ways, look for little things that you can do to help serve the community of believers. Because when you do that, when you express that genuine, selfless, sacrificial, humble service to the community of believers, you are showing that you are living a life worthy of the gospel of which those of you who put your faith, trust in Jesus Christ, have ultimately been called. And then lastly here, when we humbly serve one another, we most remarkably conform to the example of Christ. When we humbly serve one another, we most remarkably conform to the example of Christ. How many of you remember, I don't know how many years ago now, Brady, it was, but the bracelets, the WWJD bracelets, right? Do any of you guys remember that? He's like, yeah, of course we remember that, man. What do you think, we're in third grade or something? Yeah. All right. The WWJD. What did WWJD stand for? What would Jesus do, right? A lot of people wore those. They were saying, you know, what would Jesus do? So it was a kind of a reminder that, look, if Jesus is our example, then we are to follow Jesus and to do the best that we can to respond and react and live in such a way that will be pleasing ultimately to our Lord who we're following here. And so when we humbly serve one another, we most remarkably conform to the example of Christ. You see, Jesus was humble. Now, if we think about this, Jesus, the one who was, as John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of that same chapter said that same Word became flesh or took on a human body and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this was in reference to Jesus. The same Jesus who in Colossians talks about who is the image of the invisible God, the creator of everything. The same Jesus who in Revelation who says, who John says is the Alpha, the Omega, right? The beginning and the end. Meaning that He is eternal. He is all powerful. This same Jesus was humble. And so if we want to be like Christ, as we striving to live lives that are becoming of disciples of Christ, then we must be humble and exercise humility just as Jesus was humble. And this is what the Bible even tells for us in verse 5 here. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So the same attitude that was in Jesus should be the same attitude that is characteristic of every one of us in this context. What was that attitude? Well, it was an attitude of humble service. Look at verse 6 in reference to Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, or in other words, or clung to. Meaning that instead of, you know, Jesus staying in the portals of heaven, right, He came down to die death on the cross to save us so that we can have a relationship with God. Verse 7, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Look at that. The same attitude that was in Christ Jesus, Paul says, should be in us. That although He had all the stature of glory for being God, and ultimately the Son of God, He came down, took on a human nature, took on the form of a servant, and faithfully and humbly served so that we could have a relationship with God. So when we humbly serve one another, we most remarkably conform to the very example of Christ in His coming on the cross. So, humility. What does humility or humble service look like among the community of believers? Well, first, humility is to be expressed in selfless, sacrificial service, without any sense of pride or self-righteousness. Secondly, we should actively look for opportunities in our church or in our communities to faithfully and humbly serve others.
and then recognize that when we humbly serve one another, we most remarkably conform to the example of Jesus Christ. So being the body of Christ, living lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is being unified in purpose and mind, and also by faithfully and humbly serving one another. Let me just pray for you here, if I may, in closing. Heavenly Father, we do give thanks on this day. God, I just pray for each and every one of these individuals under the sound of my voice. Lord, I just pray that you just help each and every one of us to understand what it means to faithfully serve you, Lord, with a humble heart. Lord, we pray that we understand that we don't just do acts just to do acts, Lord, but we are motivated by the transforming power of the gospel. Help us to understand what this means, Lord. Help us not only to understand what it means, but help us to live it. Father, we do this thing called faith in the community of believers. So help us strengthen one another and encourage each other while today be today, unless we be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Thank you for these people. Bless us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.